You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Hello, hello.
Hey, good morning, Greg.
Hey, how are you this morning?
Good, buddy. Are you out and about? Are you in the office? Or?
Yeah, I'm just headed out, so okay. Best to stay on the cell phone here.
Okay, gotcha. So what's new?
Well, buyers doing a beautiful job of breaking the high of the year again.
Man, broke 9,000 on the Dow. That's what everybody's counting, you know, shouting about.
Yep, so the buyers extending the leg now. It started at 870 down to 976. Buyers doing a beautiful job of extending this leg now over 100 points, 106 points so far. So this morning in the trading room, I told the traders, I said, now, I want you guys to understand what we've done the last 8-9 days. I said, the high of 2004 was 1160. The low of 2004, 10 months later, was 1060, which was a 100-point range that we covered in 10 months. I said, we've covered the same distance in 9 days.
Yeah.
So they were all like, whoa. So buyers doing a beautiful job off the 870, building a leg, extending that leg, and as I was talking about yesterday, I said the current mode of operation is that the buyers are breaking the high of the year and then they're very quickly taking profits off the table. But that doesn't mean that, in other words, that was the current mode of operation, but each new time we break the high of the year, the trader has to stay objective and understand that a breakout, exaggeration, panic as we call it, is always potentially on the table.
Right.
So the last couple times we broke the high, it's resulted in profit taking that creates a trap, and this time breaking the high, we get a panic acceleration that takes us from 960 all the way to 976. It's a 16-point acceleration, which is what the buyers have been looking for the last 2-3 days. Buyers have been looking for that breakout, short seller squeeze, acceleration panic dynamic. And they got it today. And we've now extended this leg to 976. Now, big picture, we talked about the difference between objectives and obstacles yesterday. The next buyer's objective is that 1,000 round number, which lines up with the highs of last October and November, 2008. So between 960, which was the high of the year, which was set yesterday, and that 1,000 objective, round number, highs of October, November of 2008, we're out in what we call clear water.
Yeah.
So buyers are basically just watching each other at this point to say, hey, how far can we push this thing? Is there any sign of weakness? And it's very important for traders to understand that there's four things that buyers do not like. But buyers are not going to start getting nervous until some things start to happen. Number one, buyers do not like retracements. Number two, after a retracement, buyers do not like being stopped from breaking new highs. Number three, after a retracement, buyers do not like breaking a new high and then getting slapped down, what we call a trap. Number four, and most importantly, which creates action, buyers do not like after a retracement and being stopped from breaking new highs or breaking new highs and getting slapped down, they do not like breaking any lows. And until we start breaking lows, anything else, the retracement, being stopped from breaking new highs are just warning signs. But what creates actionable movement is breaking a low. And we have not done that. On the daily chart, we have a series of green candles. On the 10-minute chart, we have leg after leg after leg. Buyers doing exactly what they need to do, and the buyers have had no real reason here to get nervous.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Wait a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4. We've got 9 candles in a row.
On the daily chart.
All on the daily chart, all green on the S&P cash, with the exception of that one little wee tiny red aberration we have in there.
But if that was a higher high and a higher low. So it doesn't matter what the color is, we still had a higher high and higher low for that day.
Well, you need. I think you'd have to check that higher high part. We definitely had a higher low. But
well,
anyway.
That's the key. Higher low. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we didn't do anything. Keep in mind, my point here is that buyers don't get nervous.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Until we break any lows.
No.
We've given the buyers no reason whatsoever to pull out of this thing. And we're out here in clear water with very clear objectives overhead.
They were saying that, I think I heard this morning, the statistic was, the world loves statistics, the NASDAQ has now closed positive 11 days in a row, which is the longest run since, I think, 1999. And if, in fact, it closes positive today, that will be the longest run since the early 90s.
Woohoo!
Yeah, you know, I just thought I needed to share that. I mean, we had horrible jobs data, but we had good housing data today. So of course, the talking heads and the headlines, you know, are all great housing data. The market's going to rally. The market is rallying. But you know, on this radio program, we warn people about overpriced houses and risky mortgages. We warned them again and again and again and again and again. And we said, don't do it. Don't buy the overpriced house. Don't take the risky loan. So, time passed, blah, blah, blah. Now, what we've been saying since the beginning of this year, since December of last year, greatest opportunity in the history of real estate, do whatever you can, whatever it takes. Get a second job, get a third job, get four jobs, go buy some real estate. Been saying that since December. It's critical. Take advantage of this buying opportunity. And data is starting to creep in that maybe there's something to this whole real estate investment thing. It's starting to build again. I'm not saying, okay, we got good housing data, it's too late, you know, now you don't have any opportunity. No, there's still a huge window of opportunity. And there's what they call a shadow market of foreclosed homes that banks haven't even put on the market yet, because they don't want to drive the prices down even further with an additional glut of inventory. So they're kind of, you know, being hidden a little bit behind the curtain.
That's exactly. In fact, I talked to a friend of mine that's a realtor this weekend, and he told me that they were holding out on releasing foreclosures. He's working with a number of banks that him and his wife exclusively are doing short seller foreclosure stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that they got down to just one or two houses in their inventory, and the banks that they're working with are holding out, and then they just released another 200 and some. He said, but now they're getting smarter about this whole process.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So, gosh, folks, you know, best, as Greg has said again and again, best buying opportunities in the S&P in its history.
Yep.
And, you know, I got to say, probably the best buying opportunity in real estate, certainly in modern times. I know there was the great land grab in America back in the day when you could just go stake out a claim and call it yours. I can't beat free. but these discounted prices we're looking at now are just so extraordinary.
Right.
Did you watch the presidential address last night?
No, I didn't. I had relatives in town and didn't get a chance to.
I mean no disrespect, but every time I sit down to watch one of his speeches and my lazy boy, I fall asleep.
Oh, that's right.
I woke myself up snoring. But I did catch some interesting points. And one of the things he wants to go after is putting a tax on risky trades. Now, it's not the same thing as that tax we were talking about they wanted to implement on all trades for the average everyday investor.
Okay.
They're talking more about, you know, like the whole subprime thing and the CDOs and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Like, you know, if he goes, banks want to do this far-out stuff, okay, fine. But they're going to have to put some money in the kitty, you know, in case doesn't work out.
Right. So. Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know. I can see.
I mean,
that.
It's either that or they go back to what it was before Mr. Clinton and Greenspan presented it to Congress to make it legal again.
Yeah.
Which is going back and make it illegal. What's funny is, you know, I talk to people about the credit default swaps and all that kind of stuff, and you know, Democrats have done a great job of selling everybody on the Republican Party. Well, no, it was the Democrat president in office that opened up the door to those derivative and risky things to be traded. And Greenspan and Clinton went to Congress and said, doesn't have to be regulated. These guys can regulate themselves.
Oh, me. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Did you get that email I sent you?
I did. I'll see if I can break away this afternoon and
okay, that's
check it.
It's at 1:30 our time.
Right.
So, and again, no big shroud of secrecy here, folks, other than I don't want to put a name out there and somebody goes, oh, yeah, I heard about that on CFRN. Then it turns out to be a scam. And,
yeah.
You know, I want more information, and then I'll gladly tell you who it is and what's going on. I just want to feel it out a little bit.
Mm.
So, and did you get the other email I sent you?
About
the solitary trader?
About the what?
The solitary trader.
Yeah, I did, and I looked at it just briefly, and then.
You don't by any chance know him, do you?
No. You know, I don't know. I didn't even catch a name.
Well, neither did I. I was incredibly intrigued by what I saw, and then I realized that it was like a one-night or a one-day thing and a one-day post, and he never showed back up for the second post.
Yeah.
I just kind of like the spirit of, you know, of where he came from.
Yeah.
Didn't
appear
he was trying to, you know, sell anything, no gimmicks or whatever. He was just going to share his journey. So there was an email address, and there was even a phone number, I think. So I may follow up on that today just to see if he's still out there and still around, still in the game, and what's going on, who he is, and where he's at. I love those pictures. That's really what caught my attention were the pictures.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see the one picture in the inside of the church? Did you go that? Did you click on that link?
I don't know if I got that far.
I'm telling you, man, it's incredible.
Really?
Incredible. So anyway, all right, well, you're out and about, so I won't tie you up unless you got something more you want to add to this thing.
No, buyer's doing a beautiful job running into that 975 round number area. We're out here in Clearwater. Buyer's next objective is 1,000. Buyers are watching each other for signs of profit taking, for signs of retracements, not being able to break new highs. You know, how far will they be able to push this? The current leg on the 10-minute chart started yesterday afternoon at 9:52. We're currently at 9:76. That'd be basically a 25-point leg.
That's a big leg.
That's a monster.
And this leg on the daily chart is now 100 points?
106.
Yeah. And the average leg is?
On a daily chart, 40 to 80. And I don't use the term average. I use standard.
Standard.
Average determines mathematical calculations. Standards.
Standard means
more of an observation than
standard.
Math.
Standard means what we tend to see.
Yes, as opposed to average, which is because what happens is I start using terms like that. Guess what everybody wants?
Well, then the slide rules come out in the calculators, and it becomes a mathematical equation.
Oh yeah, and then all the analytical types say, "Could you give me your breakdown of that analysis and spreadsheet quantifications?"
Can I get your Excel spreadsheet?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah
my God,
can.
No. Sorry. All right, brother, I gotta run.
My friend, have a great day. Hey, is it going to rain today?
I don't know.
Does it look like it in your end of town?
It's overcast, that's for sure.
Boy, it sure looks like it in my end. All right, talk to you tomorrow.
All right, God bless. Bye.
Oh, me.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.